Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and we'll look at chapter 18 today. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "Let my hand not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." So David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But it happened at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, would have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel the Meholathite as a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. So Saul said, "I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David a second time, "You shall be my son-in-law today." And Saul commanded his servants, "Communicate with David secretly, and say, 'Look, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law.'" So Saul's servants spoke these words in the hearing of David. And David said, "Does it seem to you a light thing to be a king's son-in-law, seeing I am a poor and lightly esteemed man?" And the servants of Saul told him, saying, "In this manner David spoke." Then Saul said, "Thus you shall say to David, 'The king does not desire any dowry but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies.' But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." So when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to become the king's son-in-law. Now the days had not expired, therefore David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full count to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Thus Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. And the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. So the last time we looked at 1 Samuel a number of months ago, we had looked at chapter 17 and the great victory and the great battle that the Lord had given David into David's hands, and the fall of Goliath, and where we pick up chapter 18 follows that conversation that happened at the end, where David and Saul were speaking, and he was asking about David's family and whose son he was, and that whole interaction was still taking place. So chapter 18 picks up right still near that battlefield, right where that was happening. So as we start chapter 18, there's three main individuals that we would look at today in this passage, and they're Saul, David, and Jonathan, who we're introduced to here in this interaction too. So we'll look at the interaction between Jonathan first to start. So to compare Jonathan, who is Saul's son, with David, Jonathan was the next in line. He should have been the next to become king, if we looked at it from how the kingdoms would normally go. Jonathan was next in line. When we look at their interaction together between David, there should have been some sort of maybe competition, a sense of somebody trying to take his spot, but that's not what we see at all. And we see that it was when David had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That has the mind of they were sharing the same soul almost. They were of the same mind. So Jonathan, who must have seen David from time to time in his father's palace, David would come and play for King Saul in previous chapters. We learned that. He must have had an interaction with David, but maybe it wasn't much or whatever it might be. But he witnesses this great victory that the Lord had given him and how he put the Lord first and how he said, the Lord had delivered this Philistine into my hands. He gave all the glory to the Lord. And that's what caused the soul of Jonathan to be knit with the soul of David. He loved him as his own soul. So instead of this competition or this disdain maybe for someone who might be taking his rightful spot, we see this beautiful friendship, and we'll see it in other chapters in the book later on, how they would interact, this David and Jonathan. We see the things that he gave him in verse 3. Jonathan, they made a covenant with each other. Jonathan took off his robe that was on him, gave it to David with his armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. In chapter 17, we see that he tried to wear Saul's armor, but he hadn't tested those. That wasn't going to work. But he is able to take Jonathan's armor, which is an interesting thing to notice. There's been things said about how maybe Jonathan should have given his shoes to David. Maybe Jonathan would have continued with David more if they shared his shoes and they went to the same place. But there's really nothing here to fault Jonathan at all for anything that he did or didn't give to David in that way. They really were very close friends, and they did continue that until we read of Jonathan later on. They still had this relationship. So I would say that to us, as we go through our pathway as Christians, there's always said to bring up your interactions with older brothers or older sisters, someone who may have been there before and can give advice, things like that. But I think it's also very important to have those of your same age that you can share these things with. Jonathan and David were probably within 3 to 5 years of age of each other. So having that as we would go on, being able to share things, similar experiences, would be very important. And it is important for us to take hold of as well. If David was alone, as we kind of see, a lot of times he was alone in his life later on. He had the Lord, but being able to strengthen yourself, there's a passage later on in 1 Samuel where they met each other in the wilderness, in the woods, and they were able to strengthen each other that way. So how wonderful that would be for each one of us too, as we can have our relationships that way. But the bulk of this chapter is the interactions between Saul and David. We had the full chapter of 17 where Saul, who maybe was the one who should have fought Goliath, watches David have this interaction and give the glory to God in it. And we see in verse 2, Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. He has what he thinks is maybe a good person for his army. He has someone who he can have nearby him. Don't really read it as a spiritual thing in the interactions with Saul. But instead of being a shepherd in his father's pastures with the sheep, he's brought to King Saul's presence, and he doesn't go back and forth anymore. He's with King Saul. And we see in verse 5 that David did what Saul would have to him. David was very faithful. That's something we can trace throughout this chapter, that he was faithful, and he behaved wisely. Second half of verse 5. This has the idea of prospering. So whatever Saul would have for him to do, David would do it, and he would go above and beyond, as we'll see in some circumstances as well. He would get everything done that he was supposed to. And we can kind of compare this to, you know, our interactions with our workplace, whatever it is, like school or things like that, that we would do what we're asked to do. We are to be faithful over what's set in front of us and not really have anything to go against or talk back about it. It's just what we have for us. And we each have those things in our lives that are of the world, maybe jobs, things like that. But there are those things that we have to do. But we see he was accepted in the sight of all the people and in the sight of Saul's servants in verse 5. If this was maybe someone who was looking for status or fame, this person would be maybe trying to cut corners, maybe put themselves ahead of others to kind of go up the ranks in Saul's kingdom and in Saul's army. But this is not the case. He is an example, and he has good relationships with all those that he works with, the servants in particular as well. He gained more responsibility, and as he did that, he was faithful in it, and he gained more favor with those around him, and even Saul himself as well at this point here. But as we move on, they're coming home. This is all still interacting with the area of where the battle took place. But now in verse 6, as they start heading back towards home, away from the battlefield, we'll see a drastic change in how Saul views David. They were returning from the battlefield, and the victory was sounded ahead, and everyone was excited about this, and the women are singing and dancing. There's a big celebration, and this wasn't meant to be a slight at Saul, really. They say Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That was kind of, it was a victory cry. It was a victory song. But Saul, we see in verse 8, was very angry. The saying displeased him. And he feels, in verse 9, he eyed David from that day forward. What can he have but the kingdom? Verse 8. We see how what Saul cared about was his kingdom and what he had over him. And he was told back in chapter 15 by Samuel, this probably came to his mind, that the kingdom was no longer going to be his. And he seems to have this in his mind, and he seems to want to rebel against that fact and try not to have it come to pass. So maybe that is going through his mind too, but he eyes David from that day forward. You see a distinct change for the next number of chapters. Saul will do anything to get rid of David so that he won't take over this kingdom. And we can see how Saul's interactions previously, they seem a little peculiar. It almost seemed like he didn't know who David was at the end of chapter 17 when he asked who his father's house was. In chapter 16, he didn't know of David. His servants had to tell him that there's this person who can help you and is skillful in the harp. So he seemed like he needed assistance from others in certain areas. But we see through the rest of this chapter, when he was against David, he did everything he possibly could. He looked into every way to try and trip him up. He came up with these very elaborate plans to do so. His mind was very focused on this. And there might be those who we deal with in the world, or maybe other things, Satan himself, when we are doing things for the Lord and we're behaving very wisely and we're doing things the way we should, the enemy, that is something that the enemy does not like, and they will be very vigilant and very thoughtful in planning to try and trip us up. And that's kind of what we see through the remainder of this chapter as we would go through it in the next few minutes. In verse 10, we read this interaction. So David is still in the presence of Saul. He's still playing his harp. Saul would have this distressing spirit from God that would come, and David would be playing his music as other times. But Saul has this mindset of trying to trip up David. And Saul casts this spear at David while he's playing, a defenseless position. And the idea was that he would pin David to the wall. He wanted to end this right there. The most interesting part of this is at the end of verse 11, David escaped his presence twice. So if we think about that, there was one time where he tried to pin David. David let that spear fall to the ground, let Saul pick it back up again, and it happened one more time. He escaped that presence twice. David had a chance. He missed the first time, David could have fought back. David could have said something or done something to try and get away, but it happened twice. David was not going to do anything to harm Saul or the one who was the anointed one of the Lord at that time. Even more interesting than that is verse 12. David had escaped Saul from being tried to be killed, but it's Saul who's afraid in verse 12. Saul is the one who's afraid, and he's realizing, I would say, that his time is coming to an end. He is afraid of David. And the reason is because the Lord was with him. Saul could tell that the Lord was with him, and he was against David. Can we have that said of ourselves? Can people recognize that the Lord is with us in our, you know, routine interactions with those around us? Saul was able to see that, and it made him afraid because of it. Then Saul removes him from his presence. He tried this. He kept him close. He kept his enemies close, right? So he might have a chance to take this into his own hands. But when that didn't work, he sends him out into the army. He gives him a captain position over 1,000 people. And he does that so he would have more potential to be harmed or injured in some way. But what does David do? Verse 14, he behaves wisely in all his ways. He gains more stature, more responsibility again. And in verse 16, all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. They would see David going out on these military expeditions and coming back with victories. They would see him interacting with others. And again, they began to love David more and more. And the Lord was with him. That's a common thread throughout the rest of the chapter. It seems Saul was afraid of David. David behaved wisely, and the Lord was with him. And David and Saul continues to be more and more afraid because of that. Then we get to verse 17. And so this part of Saul's plan doesn't work. He has all these victories. He actually gains more fame and more of a position. So there was still this part of the promise that whoever defeated the Philistine Goliath would gain Saul's daughter as a wife. So that daughter was supposed to be Merab. And what he wants to do is he wants David to prove himself. He actually uses the Lord's name in verse 17. Only be valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. But Saul has an ulterior motive. He wants David to fight the Lord's battles so that he would have a chance to maybe fall or be hindered in some way. David still has this humble attitude towards Saul. It's really remarkable throughout all this. He considers himself very lowly. Who am I what is my life that my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? He has this lowly opinion of himself. He's very humble in all that he does. And Saul uses this as another tactic. He gives this daughter, who was supposed to marry David, to somebody else, perhaps in the hope of inciting David to be upset about it, or maybe to get a reaction from him. But we don't read anything of that in this verse. So Saul has another daughter, Michal, and she loves David. And when Saul understands that in verse 21, or end of verse 20, that thing pleased him. And why did it please him? He said, so I can use her to trip up David, essentially. She will be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So then Saul comes to David a second time, urging him to become his son-in-law in this way, but not for any sake of making David happy by this, or even simply giving him what he was owed by the king's promise. It's all in an effort to trip David up. And David is still hesitant. He still feels very humble in his thinking. He feels that he shouldn't even come to this aspiration at this point. But Saul gives him a chance to prove himself. And David wants to be able to do this. So Saul has his servants do the dirty work. His servants explain to David what this would be. They kind of urge David to try and do this. So he does do so. He has this opportunity. And in verse 24, they report back to Saul and say this. And Saul has this proposition where there would be this dowry. A dowry would be something that would be paid to the daughter's family as a as a payment, a sign that you would like to marry that daughter. And the price was killing 100 Philistines. So again, he's giving another opportunity to trip David up, to have him maybe be harmed or killed, 100 Philistines. And we see in verse 26 that this pleased David. And in verse 27, he kills 200 Philistines. He goes double. He goes above and beyond. And Saul has no choice but to give Michal, his daughter, as a wife. Still in his mind, Saul was trying to trip David up in this, even by actually carrying this out. He didn't want David to succeed in this way. And we just really see how dedicated Saul was to harming David just in these few verses here. And there are, that's a lesson for each one of us. We might have interactions with that. We see how David can be an example to us in all of this. He was respectful to those who were over him. He served the Lord in everything that he did, all the tasks that he was given, he carried out. And this, the last few verses in verse 28 to the end of the chapter really sum up what David, his interactions were and his lifestyle and his servitude. So verse 28, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was still more afraid of David. So Saul became David's enemy continually. That sets up their interactions for the rest of the following chapters. Saul could tell that the Lord was with David. We already heard that. That can be a lesson to each one of us too. We can serve the Lord in the little things, whatever it might be. We can have others recognize that about us. And there might be some who would be against us, try to trip us up because of that. But Saul was the one who was more afraid of David. David had this trust in the Lord. He behaved wisely in all that he did. But no matter what, Saul was the enemy of David continually. The rest, another rendering is all the days or the rest of his days. And then the end of verse 30. So it was whenever they went out that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. So David started out by just carrying out the tasks he was given. He was supposed to be in Saul's courts, playing the harp at that time for Saul. He was given that task. He carried it out. Although he was promoted maybe under false pretenses, he carried out each step as he was given over more military might. He was made a captain. He was made, he had these victories. He became and behaved more wisely in all of this. So as we are faithful in the smaller things, we will be given more and more responsibility. And if we are, if we trust the Lord and follow him, we read in the Psalms that David was constantly with the Lord in communion with him. He would write these songs. He would be with the Lord and trusting him along the way, that behave more wisely than all the servants of Saul. God will give us the wisdom and the strength we need to carry out these tasks as we would grow. And his name became highly esteemed. David was not seeking for that name. David was not seeking for that fame, but God provided it as an extra, as something extra. His name became highly esteemed. He was well liked by those around him, not because he was seeking this power, but because of how faithful he was in carrying out what he was set, what was set before him to do. So these few thoughts and these lessons that we can each take for us in our daily lives, and we can carry these things out practically in each one of our lives.